Should Christians be committed to a particular local church? If you are a Christian, should you be committed to a particular local church? In the U.S., some are no more committed to a church than they are to a hamburger joint. So for a while, you know, Sonic is the place you want to go, and then you go to Five Guys for a couple of months, and then one day a friend takes you to Cookout, and you decide, well, Cookout is really where I want to go from now on. Well, that's not a problem with fast food restaurants, but it is a problem with churches, and many people treat churches exactly that way. If someone were to say to you, hey, why are you flitting around from church, from hamburger joint to hamburger joint? Commit to one hamburger joint. You would rightly say, well, that's just stupid. That's foolish. But there is a good reason to commit to a particular church. The church is not a fast food restaurant. The church is not a place that exists to meet your fancy, to satisfy a particular urge on one particular day. The church is an embassy of the kingdom of God in the midst of a rebellious kingdom of darkness. And the church will not play its rightful role in the lives of its people or in its society unless its people are committed to it. So the exhortation today is commit yourself. Commit yourself to a solid local church. The series, which we're completing today, is The Ordinary and Extraordinary Church of Jesus Christ. We've seen that all of us in the church are ordinary human beings. We're all fallen. We're all sinful. Apart from the work of Jesus Christ, we're all dead in our trespasses and sins. And even when we meet, we engage in ordinary activities, preaching, praying, singing, reading scripture, baptizing, Lord's Supper, giving, speaking the gospel to those who don't believe. These are all just ordinary activities, ordinary human functions. But God takes ordinary people doing ordinary activities and works extraordinarily through them, making the dead come alive because of Jesus Christ, sealing us with the Holy Spirit of promise, and as Fred will preach next Sunday, transforming us into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ as we behold his glory, and then empowering us to be his witnesses both near and far. And he puts within us, as we read, the very love that the Father has for the Son. And he makes us one with the Father and the Son. And as we read, we are then loved by God the Father. We are loved by God the Father as God the Father loves his Son. So whom does God the Father love more? Jesus or the church? It's the same love. It's the same love. That is extraordinary. So the church is not a club I join. God saves us into his church. And God then takes this church, these ordinary people doing ordinary activities, and promises to conquer the kingdom of darkness through them. So God creates the church for a purpose, to glorify his name. The church exists to glorify his name. We do that through expressing joy in Christ, through deepening joy in Christ, through spreading joy in Christ to every tribe and tongue and people and nation. And all Christians are called to do all three, express, deepen, spread through local churches. Last week I quoted Michael Horton, God speaks his living and active word so that a community emerges as a platform for God's ministry. The church is a platform for God's ministry. Thus, the church is not a hamburger joint, which is about you, your needs, your ministry. Romans 11:36 is true of all things, especially the church. All things are from him, through him, and to him. To him be the glory forever and ever. The church is from God. God created the church. The church is through God. God continues to empower and work in the church. The church is to God. Everything that happens in the church is to be to his glory. The church is not about you. And yet, this is the way to joy. This is the way to fulfillment. This is the way to true life. We are to humble ourselves, put God and his glory first. We're to pour out our lives for him, lay down our lives for him. And as our partners in India well know, we may suffer. We may lose the things of this world. We may lose our family, our job, and our friends. We may lose our health. We may lose our life. But as the psalmist says, whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing that I desire besides you. Or as Martin Luther wrote, let goods and kindred go, this mortal life also. The body they may kill, God's truth abideth still. His kingdom is forever. And that is the kingdom where one finds righteousness and peace and joy and love, and nowhere else. Note that the kingdom of this world, whatever its baubles and supposed benefits, will not provide you with that righteousness and peace and joy and love. And so last week we looked at this through three words: confident, competent, and committed. We are together competent for the task that God has called us to, even though it's an extraordinary task, as MK was pointing out to us. But it is God's extraordinary work, his power, that will accomplish it. And others in the body, by God's plan, will make you competent and will use you to make them competent. And then together, we are confident in him, not in ourselves, but in him. For, as Paul says in Colossians 3, we are chosen, we are holy, we are beloved. And then we are committed to God and to one another. We are committed when we irritate one another, when we sin against one another. We are to bear with one another. We are to forgive. We are to put on meekness and humility and patience. And those very words imply that it's not always easy to love one another and to be with one another. Well, that leads us then to this last topic in the series. We're going to look at this under two headings. First heading, join or submit, ? Second heading, what does submission look like? So first of all, join or submit. Jonathan Lehman, in his book on church membership, says, Christians don't join churches, they submit to them. I think that's accurate. The word joins sounds like you can make the decision or you could not make the decision, and the decision is totally up to you. So that when a new student goes to a university, there's some activity fair where the new student will be surrounded by 500 possible clubs to become a part of. He can choose to join many or choose to join none. But a Christian does not have that choice. There's no choice about a church. To be a follower of Jesus Christ is to be a part of his church, of his bride, of his body, of his building. God saves you out of darkness into his church. The choice then is which local assembly you will not join but submit to. Now, for most people in Bihar and Uttar Pradesh, when they become a believer in a village, there's no choice about that. Here's this group of believers. They're the only believers in the village. Obviously, if I'm a believer in Jesus, this is the group of people that I will gather together with. But in Charlotte, there are many possibilities, and that is a choice. But notice, whether to submit to a local church is not a choice. To refuse to submit to a local church is to be disobedient to God. That's a strong statement, but let me support it biblically. There are a number of biblical commands that make absolutely no sense apart from submission to a particular local body of believers. When Paul is speaking to the elders of the church in Ephesus in Acts chapter 20, he tells the pastors and elders, "Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God which he obtained with his own blood." Pay careful attention to all the flock. Who's the flock? How do they know? I'm an elder. Are all the Christians in Charlotte my flock? Am I to pay close attention to all the Christians? No. It's those who have committed, had submitted to this particular congregation. Those are the ones that I have to, according to God's command, I have to shepherd and pay close attention to. That's from the leader's point of view. What about from the congregant's point of view? The author of Hebrews tells all Christians, submit to your leaders. Hebrews 13, 17. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Which leaders do you obey and submit to? That requires a particular local congregation. A particular set of leaders that you will, note, not join, but submit to. And they have to give an account for particular people. Then, thirdly, Paul exhorts the church to exercise discipline. Well, who is subject to the discipline of the church? Who implements the discipline of the church? In 1 Corinthians 5, he upbraids the church in Corinth for allowing gross, obvious sin in their midst and not doing anything about it. He says, "When you are assembled in the name of the Lord Jesus, and my spirit is present with the power of our Lord Jesus, you are to deliver this man to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, so that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord." He's commanding, Paul is commanding, the church in Corinth to gather together as a church, and as a church to exercise discipline over this obviously sinning member, who, if he continues in this sin, is lost. And then in 2 Corinthians, perhaps referring to the same incident, some man who was under church discipline has repented, and he says, "This punishment by the majority is enough, so you should rather turn to forgive and comfort him." So it was a discipline not only by the leaders of the church, it was a discipline implemented by the majority, the church as a whole. And again, who are we responsible for disciplining. It requires some sense of submission, some proclamation. I submit myself to this church and to its leadership. I want your discipline if I start obviously straying from the truth. And then, as we considered last week, we must love, bear with, forgive, and be patient with whom? That great passage from Colossians chapter 3. We are committed to one another to forgive one another. That requires a particular local body, a particular group of people. So we can summarize these statements about commitment to a local church, the needs for a local church, in four statements which Mark Dever has made. You need leaders and they need you. You need instruction and discipline, and others need your participation in instruction and discipline. You need encouragement and building up, and others need your encouragement and building up. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up. And then finally, you need the sins and faults of others, and they need your sins and faults. It's the very imperfections among us that in the context of commitment to one another, God uses to fashion us and to shape us into his likeness. Proverbs 27:17, iron sharpens iron and one man sharpens another. The only way our iron sharpens iron is because it is not perfectly smooth. So, join or submit? Really, the better word is submit. Choosing to submit to a local congregation, to a particular leadership. Well, what does submission look like then? Submission does not mean whatever the pastor says is right, follow him or get out. The pastor's authority is the authority of the word. If you've submitted to a local church and its leadership, you should be inclined to follow. You should give heavy weight to what the pastor says and take seriously his interpretation of Scripture. But the goal is to get you to search the Scriptures to see if these things are true, to test everything with Scripture. If you think you see a difference between your church's teaching and the Scriptures, ask the question respectfully, but ask the question, is this consistent with what I see here? It seems to me there's a disconnect. Those of you who've been around for a while have heard me say this many times, that my goal when I preach is not to get everyone here to agree with everything I say. Rather, it is to send you to the Scriptures to see if these things are true. If you do that, I've accomplished my goal. Well, what else does it not mean? Submission does not mean you submit to a pastor. You're submitting to the church. You're submitting to the church. Well, what does it look like? We try to summarize what that submission looks like in our members' covenant, the church covenant that we agree to upon becoming a part of Desiring God Community Church. So let me read through that quickly and make a few comments about it. The first paragraph of commitment says, we engage to walk together in Christian love through the power of the Holy Spirit. We will exercise an affectionate care and watchfulness for each other, using our spiritual gifts for the common good, so that together we might live to God's glory. We will rejoice at each other's joys and will bear each other's burdens and sorrows with tenderness and sympathy. We will regularly encourage each other and lift each other up in prayer. We will be slow to take offense and always will be ready for reconciliation. Slow to take offense. That means we're going to assume the best about each other unless we are forced not to. If we think we see an issue in someone else's life, if it's minor, we can just bear with that. If it's major, if it could have an impact on that person's life or have an impact on the life of the body, we won't assume that that person is trying to disrupt the church or is being, in fact, disobedient. We will go and say, you know, it seems to me this is there's a conflict between what I see in Scripture, what I see in your life. Can you talk to me about this? Am I not perceiving things right? James 1:19, we're to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. And we're to be careful not to be tempted into the same sin or into the sin of pride or superiority, as Paul tells us in Galatians 6, verse 1. Continuing with the covenant, we will submit to the church's discipline upon ourselves and lovingly assume our responsibility to participate in the discipline of other members as taught in Scripture. So it is a mutual accountability, helping each other to live the life that is pleasing to God. Next paragraph just says we are going to meet together. We're not going to neglect meeting together. The next paragraph says that we are going to give, that giving is a command and a part of who God calls us to be. And we are responsible for the evangelical ministry of this church. We submit to it saying, yes, we are going to support this with the money that we have. The next paragraph tells us how we are going to live before the outside world. We will strive by God's grace and power to live as Christ in the world, denying ungodliness and worldly desires. We will seek to lead holy lives, being honest in our dealings and faithful to our responsibilities and commitments. And by making such a statement, we are inviting others in the church to examine our lives, the way that we relate to people outside the church, and to say, okay, this seems to be inconsistent here. And then the next paragraph has to do with our families. We resolve to practice personal and family worship, to train our children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord, and to seek the salvation of our family, friends, neighbors, co-workers, and all the nations. And again, in making this commitment, we're inviting the body to keep an eye on us and to help us to live this out in a way which will bring glory to God. And then the final statement, the final paragraph, tells us, is a commitment to say, if we move as soon as possible, we're going to unite with another body where we're going to have the same commitments and obligations. Where again, we'll have another part, local assembly of the body of Christ, which is going to be speaking into our lives and where we are going to be speaking into the lives of others so that together we can become what God intends us to be. That's what submission looks like. Not an unquestioning following, quite the contrary. We are committed to one another. We love one another. We spur one another on. We reach out with one another. And then with one another, submitting to the Word, submitting to Jesus Christ, we are being transformed into His image together with one another. That's what submission looks like. Well, let me conclude with a story about 32 years ago. Beth and I were living in Nairobi, and some of you know the way that God worked through marriage problems to knock us over the head, to bring us to Him. We knew at that point that we should commit to a local church. And we had been visiting different churches. We had been at Nairobi Baptist Church, but it was a big church. It was hard going Sunday after Sunday even to see the same people that you had met before. I felt that was the place we should be. But whenever Beth and I talked about it, we couldn't come to a conclusion. But note, I didn't make any effort to do anything about the problem of the size of the church. I didn't invite other people to our house. I didn't ask about small groups. I just critiqued the problem. Okay, this church isn't right because it's just so big and we can't get to know anyone. Well, we didn't really make much of an effort to get to know
other people.
Well, then, in 1983, Beth was in the U.S. for 3 weeks, and during that time, I started attending not only Sunday mornings, but Sunday evenings at Nairobi Baptist, and with a much smaller congregation on Sunday evenings, began to see the same people week after week. And the biggest problem I want to identify here is that I was afraid to lead. I was afraid to tell Beth, this is the church that we should be a part of, because I wasn't sure what I would do if she said, well, I don't think so. And so when she came back, I was nervous. My heart was beating. And after other ways of talking to each other and relating to each other, we started talking about churches. I said, you know, I've been going to Nairobi Baptist in the evening, and I really think that should be the church that we become a part of. And I think, what is she going to say? And she said, okay. And the next 18 months were periods of tremendous growth for both of us. And I pray growth of others that we interacted with. Praise God for that. But it could have been 28 months of tremendous growth if I had just made a decision. If I had just said, I'm going to lead my wife in this direction. So we encourage you. Commit to a local church. And when we do that, when we say that, commit to a local church or consider membership in Desiring God Community Church, we're not trying to keep you out of another church. If you're going to grow more elsewhere, if you're going to serve more effectively elsewhere, that's where we want you to be. We're about building up the kingdom of God, not building up a particular institution. We're not trying to build this embassy of the kingdom of God at the expense of other embassies. So that would be really stupid, wouldn't it? You know, if there was some rivalry between the embassy of the U.S. in France and the embassy of the U.S. in the U.K. Think, okay, we've got to be the better embassy. And let's get, you know, all the good foreign service folks and get them over here. You're all serving the same country. We're all serving the same kingdom. The embassies are not in competition with one another. But what we're saying is to be a believer in Jesus is to be committed to a particular local body of believers. That commitment must happen for your own good, for the good of the local body, for the glory of God. So if you're not a member, become one. Commit to a local assembly, here at Desiring God Community Church or elsewhere. Be wise about that decision. That includes checking things out. And we have a post on the internet about how to choose a church. A lot of questions that it's important to ask. Be wise, but don't dawdle. Don't dawdle. Don't spend years trying to find the perfect church. You can't find a perfect church, since none is perfect. But if you did find a perfect church and you joined it, it would no longer be perfect because you were not perfect. And don't spend years trying to find the best church. That can be an excuse for delay and delay and delay. That was our problem in Nairobi. That can be an excuse also for a lack of commitment, an unwillingness to commit to a particular group of people, to a particular leadership. Find a good church. And then commit, invest yourself, invest your time, invest your prayers, invest your money to make that church more and more a community where God is honored. More and more an effective embassy of the kingdom of God in the kingdom of darkness. And that church will make you more and more what God intends you to be. And that growth in you will not happen apart from your commitment to a local body. So don't be like me 30-some years ago. Commit yourself. And the gates of hell will not prevail against the advance of God's church. Let's pray together.